Millen Jerome Lake Community Hall, June 20th, 2016.
Good evening, everybody. I'd like to call to order the Village of Round Lake Committee of the Whole meeting for June 20th, 2016, at 7:31 p.m. Madam Clerk, roll call.
Trustee Foy.
Present.
Trustee Fry.
Present.
Trustee Crowley.
Trustee Crowley. Present.
Trustee Newby.
Present.
Trustee Rodriguez.
Present.
Trustee Turpin.
Present.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. May I get a motion for item 2.1, approve the minutes of the committee of the whole meeting of June 6, 2016.
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Trifon, seconded by Trustee Fry. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Any public comment? Good evening, Mr. Patel. Under committee as a whole, first item is Public Works. Director Weedoff.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The first item I have for you this evening is contract on the sanitary sewer televising. It was not a bid for this work. The bid came in. Pike View America LLC was the lowest bidder. It is actually under our budgeted amount. The cleaning and televising is required by our sanitary sewer agreement with the county. So it was an effort to get us in compliance with that agreement. They're going to come in and clean it down by all the sanitary sewers in probably half of 50% of the county.
For the record, Director, we offer you, tell me, are we behind? I know we may be behind or on schedule with the CMOM agreement.
As far as I can tell, we're a little bit behind.
And this will put us?
This will get us out.
Thank you. Any questions?
All right.
Move us forward. Glad to see that we're getting up to speed on that. Thank you, Director.
Thank you. Along those same lines, I have for proposals from Bachelor Engineering and Robinson Engineering to provide project management for the sanitary sewer cleaning and televising. It's the process pay estimate, handle the contracts, make sure that the contract is doing what they're supposed to be doing, and progress meetings, those sort of things. The middle for Bachelor Woodman was the lower cost along with lower billing rates, and the staff is recommending accepting the proposal
for
the facts
and women
to handle those services.
Any questions?
Move
it forward.
The next item I have is a proposal from the facts and women to design some drainage improvements.
Adam, I'm sorry, I think it's just me, but can you speak a little louder?
Sir.
Thank you.
The next item I have is a proposal from Bachelor Woodman Engineering to provide design services for village-owned property at 700 Railroad Avenue. I'm sure most of you know that it's the front yard of Ace Hardware on 434.
Lake Laskowski.
The property there has some stormwater retention in there that has eroded over the years. The area has silted in and has become overgrown, so we're requesting that actually we design a sustainable plan to get everything back to its original shape, pull all the permits that are necessary to do that kind of work, or apply for the permits, I should say, and then come up with a maintenance plan so that this sort of thing doesn't happen again. We'll recommend Bachelor Woodman because they've already done some studies in the area and are already familiar with this particular parcel and the stormwater regulations.
If I would just interject a little bit, if you remember a couple of years ago, the Laskowskis presented me photographs from 134.
Yep.
And what that property used to look like. And because of neglect and abuse, village property, we let it go. Gosh, it drives me insane that we make our residents do X, Y, and Z, and we ignore those same rules. So you know, this isn't going to be an easy one, folks. It's not going to be cheap either. So it's multi-year. The property owners at Ace Hardware are aware of this. It's not going to be a quick fix, but they're extremely happy that we're moving forward on a real plan. Everybody fine with this? Thank you all so very much. Move it forward.
The next item I have is a request to hire Lloyd Construction Company to build a surface 580 feet at McGillis Drive between the, south of Route 131. As you're all aware, McGillis Drive Bridge is being replaced right now. I've attached a map here in your packet. It shows an area of the road north of the bridge is included in the project to be resurfaced. Another area north of that section was damaged by the contractor where he was storing his equipment and material, and he has agreed to resurface that stretch of road. That leaves about 80 feet between this new resurfacing and resurfacing that was done last year on Route 134. So what I'm requesting is permission to hire Lorik, the company that's doing the bridge work, to go ahead and just mill off that last 80 feet so that we'll have a uniform new road surface from 134 all the way to the other side of the bridge, and we won't be left with an 80-foot piece of old pavement.
Yeah, it's nice to talk to the night. I concur with you coming forward for an 80 feet.
The money is going to be coming from some savings that we have in the storage rack item that we got on the project.
That's a lot of the rack.
Yeah. We had about $16,000 left from that, and this will be costing around $8,000.
Yeah. Very good. Fantastic. Any further discussion? Move it forward. Thank you, Adam.
Staff is also requesting permission to contact Midwest Seamless Gutter Society to complete some repairs on the salt barn. Several months ago, we had some wind damage to the salt barn and blew down one of the partition walls up high at the top of the barn. We've been in contact with the insurance company. We've got several quotes for the work. The insurance company has finally had an adjuster come out and approve the work to be done. They told us to go ahead and select the contractor, whichever one we want. So I'm recommending the lowest proposal, which was from Midwest English Gutter Society, for $4,725. This is work that I feel needs to be done. The section of the wall is literally laying on the roof of the salt barn, and it needs to get stood back up and secured to maintain the integrity of the building and protect our salt.
The insurance company is going to have most of all these customers.
There is a deductible of $2,500.
Yes. So $300. So we're not going to cost us that much.
Everybody fine?
Yeah.
Thank you. Last item?
The last item I have up for discussion is some sidewalk trip hazard mitigation that recently happened in the village. At my direction, our staff has gone through town and addressed 26 trip hazards throughout the village by filling the gaps with asphalt. I brought some pictures if anybody would like to see them. There have been three complaints that have come into my office about the appearance of these patches. And I was just bringing it up in case there's any discussion about whether or not this should continue or stop.
Would you pass the photo, please?
This was a discussion at the staff meeting. And staff can direct you to move forward,
correct? Right. I was included in this across from Graves House. We have the bank and on that corner. I was there, months ago, but we had a sidewalk over there. It was on even. I don't know if there's trip hazards or something.
Most of the trip hazards that have been addressed have been the hazards that a resident has called in.
So residential areas?
Yeah, in residential areas. And we currently are out to bid, or we just received bids for a sidewalk program. And we've dedicated all of those funds to neighborhood and town. So these are all areas that we aren't able to address with this year's funding. So we put the asphalt on as a temporary fix to try and just reduce any hazards in the village. It's not intended to be permanent. It's just intended to buy us some time so we can go through and survey the town, see how many trip hazards we have, and then come up with a more permanent way to adjust them.
If I can ask a little bit of what was discussed at staff meeting since it was brought up, one of the things that we do not have is a comprehensive plan to address the trip hazard issue. We have in the past and currently, I believe, have $50,000, Steve, per year to address concrete curb and sidewalk repair. I don't know if you recall, I know that there's one suit out there in litigation for a person who has tripped on a sidewalk trip hazard. There's one right now. Yes, on Remington, isn't it? Can I say that?
Yeah, probably lawsuit.
thank you. Makes me feel better. On Remington Court. Or trail or lane on Remington. So the topic came up is we had what was supposed to be several trip hazards in Silverleaf Glen. Steve and I went out and drove Silverleaf Glen and we saw 2 1-inch trip hazards, which is just barely at the minimum. Regardless, those two still could be there for a liability. Adam does not have, at this point in time, an exact number of how many trip hazards there are. My question to him was, if we can get that number, if we don't have $50,000 to address this, can we at least come up with a plan to address this in a couple-year period to get ahead of the eight ball? What my concern was is that with $50,000 a year in an unknown amount of trip hazards that we would never, in a reasonable amount of time, get ahead of. So maybe 2 or 3 years out with continuing $50,000 in our budget, Adam feels somewhat comfortable, am I saying this correct, that we can get ahead of the project. But in the meantime, we have 3 years, 2 to 3 years of trip hazards that are there that leaves us liable. This is a temporary thing. I understand it's not the most aesthetically pleasing, but I think it's a quick fix. It is something that we can afford. It's something that's been researched. It's done by other communities. And does it look like, is it the way I want it to look? No. Is it temporary? Extremely. Extremely temporary.
Mr. Mayor, I think Adam and I talked about this a little bit, and we think that he would have had a soft company section.
I would agree with it too, but the question is how long would it take to saw cut one of these things? Do we have the equipment? What would man hour cost in a comparison to coming up there, tamming it down, correcting it with asphalt, and moving on? It's a cost issue.
If you look at the pictures, Mr. Mayor.
Can we let Adam answer this?
Yes, sir.
Please. Sorry to put you on the spot, but it's just discussion.
No, the rationalization for doing the method that we did was that it was the fastest and the cheapest method that we could think of. I understand that it doesn't look aesthetically pleasing, and the reason that we did this was because it was meant to be a temporary fix. We thought of things like mudjacking, using a grout, replacing the sidewalk panels. But then you're getting into a more permanent fix, which I wasn't comfortable committing to at this point. This was meant just to buy a couple of months until we could do a survey of the entire town, find out how many trip hazards we have, where they're at, and come up with a solution or a plan to address them in a responsible way. And this is not meant to be that fixed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just meant by a couple of months so we can figure out what we're actually dealing with. The solution may be we don't think we're going to be able to get to these for 3 years, so let's go soft cut, make a nice cash that's more semi-permanent until we can get to them. At this point, I just don't know. And so I'm not willing to commit a lot of man hours and resources to do a semi-permanent or a permanent thing.
So you'd be looking at the much as we go, we'll talk about that, because you got to make two little soft cuts and a lot of holes off it.
Well, don't forget, mud jacking is a permanent. That's a permanent.
But you're in a saw cut. A guy in a saw cut pumps a sidewalk. You can drill two holes and put some mud in, you're real quick to be on your way.
And that's why we haven't gone with either of those methods yet, is because we haven't had a chance to see what we're dealing with to make a good determination on it.
Scott?
Mr. Mayor, if you look at these pictures, was he allowed to leave laptops and break them away from the
Right.
To add another picture to the mix, and I'm surprised that this wasn't in your packet tonight. This is what we received from one of the residents that received this patch. I personally would be pretty hot to. There's so much gravelly stuff that anyone can slip on that as well. So while we're taking a trip hazard away, we're putting in a slip hazard. I understand why you've done it, and I get the gist, but I don't think that that's a neat enough, a parentable thing to ask somebody to live with and not knowing how long it's going to take to fix. That is totally different than this. I've seen that used before, and I know that the homeowner that had something very similar to that now has two new panels, and it was temporary. And I'm all for the temporary, but I just don't think that is acceptable. It's out on my property. You know, I keep a manicured property. I'd be a little upset, too.
Absolutely.
As this person was. So I'm wondering if it's just, is it who did it versus maybe the directions weren't, let's make it uniform, let's make it look good.
First time things are not perfect.
And that's my point here. I would be agree. And I've actually talked with Steve over that, and the two of us were like, a little agape over that. So that's my point I want to make. If we're going to make it temporary, I think we have to have a more temporary time frame, and we have to make a cognizant effort that we're not going to make it for over that time. We're going to get the solution for it. And if we're going to use this, I think the homeowners really need to understand clearly, this is really temporary and we'll make it look as nice as we can until we get there.
Adam and I have discussed over it, the direction, and the direction came from Adam to how to get these folks. So it's Adam's direction, what they can do. Adam didn't really care what happened until he went out.
Well, like I said, this is the first time that our workers have done this. Adam can give them direction. Absolutely, that is not acceptable. I'm sure that he'll agree.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I am absolutely certain of, he will make sure it doesn't happen again.
Thank you. I was like, wow. And I know that we have done that method in the orchard quite some time ago until they got their two new panels. And that didn't seem to leave everybody against the way this one did. So I can understand that.
So I'm I hear concern from the board about the way the asphalt patch looks. I think I'm hearing the board saying that a temporary fix is acceptable until Adam can complete a comprehensive plan on trip hazards, how many we have. Then there's going to be a frost and freeze and thaw cycle, and that number's going to change. So this will be an ongoing, perpetuating problem. But are we fine with giving Director Weedoff the information that we have through pictures and concerned citizens and going ahead with the asphalt patch as a temporary project?
I think, Mr. Mayor, I think we need to leave it since there were weed laws to rest, it could not affect this method. But also, I think we put something on the website saying that it's a temporary thing out there. But I just think that what you discussed with us, I think would be a lot easier.
Absolutely.
And I think that the residents, before it goes in, should be notified what you're doing, so that they don't come home and wonder what the heck, and then get all in a tizzy over it, and then give them notice. Let them know we're fixing a tip hazard temporarily.
Well, I'll bring this up in topic. Tomorrow, Steve and I are going to meet with a person. This is not on the agenda. It will be on our next meeting. But again, informing the residents. We have a new, really great web page. We still have to put information like that on it, but we're going to talk about creating an electronic newsletter. Okay, this is a perfect topic. All right. So we're having a meeting tomorrow. Tomorrow, isn't it, Steve? We have a meeting tomorrow morning. God, I feel like you hold my hand sometimes. Where do I go? So at the next,
going in the right direction.
Keep going, Alan.
That's a good thing.
We'll have more information on informing our residents on topics such as this at the next committee of the whole weeks.
I think part of the issue that comes up with anything we do, especially the bad stuff, is that they didn't know it was coming, and then they're dealing with it. It's not like they were asked about it or informed about it; they just got it, and that doesn't help to create a we're trying to help you atmosphere. So I like the approach that you're saying, Mr. Mayor, let's give them every opportunity to come get the information or to be able to get the information so easily with information.
And may I add, for all trustees, and I know there's some different points of view on this, but when somebody has an issue about something that's going on in the municipality that we've made a decision on, please invite those people to come here. Fill this room with concerned citizens. My God, I love it. Then we can have discussions like this. They can hear what we're doing, and they know that we're working for them. Oh, I wish for that every day of the week. Bring them. I am waiting. So, Director Weedoff, you have your correction? Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Special event, Bill?
Actually, we have the 4th of July parade that we've already covered with Madam Clerk. Thank you. And she's going to be doing the chanty again. And she promises no chocolate except maybe for cookie rolls, which I'm not going to say no to. Thank you, Madam Clerk. And then National Night Out, she's let any updates or updates or news on come out.
We made the reservations for the bounce house that would be every common type of equipment that we use. Place that we get the bash pipes for the car. I don't know what state they're in, but they had a bad storm and they didn't have electricity for the last week.
Mm.
So he emailed me today that he's catching up and communicate with him later.
Did we find out anything more about the petting zoo? Because I've not gotten any
information. I'm trying to find out where they called.
I sent you an email tonight.
What about the slime bucket?
Oh, yeah. I put that up as well. And I put two items that Don from Sally bought for a home company.
Yeah. Are you declaring that or just
sort of?
I'm mad at that. I don't know, but I think it's pretty good. So,
thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
Hopefully it's warm.
Under police, Chief Gillette.
Mr. Mayor, members of the three agenda items. The first one, the police department was awarded two seized vehicles from DUI arrest. One was a 2004 Volkswagen Jetta sedan, the other is a 2000 Nissan Altima sedan. We have the paperwork. Just got the paperwork last, over the period of last week for both of these. We'd like to send them both on for auction on.
Austin, when you get the money, where does that money go?
Unless it goes to the state, and then the state goes for it, and then they'll mail back the check.
We put it as a cup. Yeah, it was like a
mostly general fund.
Those are bonuses.
It's restricted general fund.
No. So this is not to be good at the board, say, goes to the police department for their special apps.
Does it go in some form?
It goes into the state teachers.
Okay.
It does. Correctly.
Okay.
Anything else?
So if this check goes to the state for them to take their part, is this without a budget, can they then send us this? Or is that budget going to interfere with us getting our part back?
No. When we see something like this, and once we get the money for it, we have to send it to the state. Everybody has their hand in it. The state has, the county sheriff has a portion of it, the state attorney has a part of it, the attorney general has a part of it. Everybody has it. We get a lion's share of a lot of stuff, somewhere around 60%.
But even without a budget, they can't.
We recently sent them money and received it back.
Thank you.
That money's ours. Thank you.
So they can
actually
have that.
The state.
I'm sure they want.
Illinois. Before?
Yeah.
Very good.
Was that a 4-1?
Yeah.
Thank you. The next one we have, I've talked about this a couple different times through the budget processes. Digital Ally came out with a device after we bought her in-car cameras. While we were in the process of our body-worn cameras, they came out with this device. And this is just a link between the body cameras and the squad car cameras. And when the squad car camera is activated, it'll activate the body camera, but it'll also activate all the other linked cameras in the vicinity. So if four police officers come to one event and one camera's turned on, whether it's a body camera or a dash camera, all of them get turned on. The officers know they're turned on, they'll vibrate and let them know that they're on, so it's not a secret. But it helps because when things are going, when stress is high, a lot of times they forget to turn their cameras on. This will help eliminate that and keep everything with the appearance of it doing our best to do what they're supposed to do. And plus it'll help keep the officers, hopefully help us learn and help them be a little safer. So we are asking to buy 11 of these devices for a total of $5,090. The only vendor is Digital Ally. Or so you only have one choice. We've been going back and forth with them, and I'm assure you that while there's only one price quote, we've done enough work for four.
Chief, isn't this part of the, this is part of the uplink, isn't it? With the, when they drive in, at the end of the day, it uplinks.
Yes.
All of that, and they have nothing to do with it. So that means that when Channel 7 is standing here, and then the mayor and the chief are all standing there together, we can say, we had nothing to do with it. It was done electronically. They couldn't have did it even if they had wanted to. So no one pointed a finger at one of our officers and said he did anything on his face. We are
doing it.
Right. And that's that means that we want to move this forward.
Well, before, I only say one thing to the chief, same thing I told Steve when we were updating our phone system and everything else. In 3 months, technology is going to provide a new toy. Proceed cautiously.
What already
Remember, we bought our cameras over several years to try and get them to transition. The first cameras we bought were working with the MIPS cameras. We bought the low-end cameras at a different price. They weren't all working well. They weren't talking. They weren't communicating with the system. Digital Ally took all every one of those cameras back. It was three ones. And all of them were their top of the line.
Wow.
Cameras. So we got made out three times.
Great.
They're an excellent company.
So we'll move you link forward. Team Court discussion. Chief?
The last one you have is our Team Court agreement. The only real change in this agreement is the fees that Team Court charges and the way that they go about it. In the past, it was a suggested donation. At one time it was $1,000 and they lowered it to $500. But they've always asked for $5,000 in some form or another. That's what the Dream Couple has. That's what they would have liked to have. Well, now they want $5,000 in return. And this agreement requires us to pay that $5,000, either by going door to door and getting donations. They don't care in what manner we pay it. That's the only difference with the new contract from the old one. What I'm asking is, I've given you information on the face page on how many people we serviced with that. But the police department is asking you to approve payment of the $5,000 fee. I think this year we could pay it out of our drug seizure money. I don't think we can carry that in for our... So it is an item that we're going to have the budget.
Chief of the record, how many in the service?
In 5 years, 53.
That's 53 young people that isn't in jail and aren't in the system. The bottom line was that they got sand. For me, I think we should support it, and I think we should move it forward.
I have a question, Chief.
Yep.
Can I throw in another perspective? There's a lot of things that this village would like to do as an entity that we simply can't afford to, but we don't reach out and put pressure on people to supply funding that we don't have. I'm a little concerned with NICASA being so bold as to go above and saying what we can or cannot afford. I agree the process is good. I agree that it's a good program. I don't know if all 53 of those kids, Henry, have stayed out of state. I don't know. But I do know that it provides a great benefit. There's no doubt about that. It's a good process. I also know how much some of these directors, employees at NICASA makes. And I have to wonder, this just goes into a general fund. I have to ask the question, what is that money really supporting? We don't have any documentation saying where it directly is going. And there's some healthy salaries there, I can tell you, some healthy ones. And I'm a little concerned about somebody coming in and saying, I'm going to tell you what you need to donate. I don't like doing business like that. I don't. Maybe I'll get in trouble for saying that on the record, but I think it's a little hardcore. I'm just pulling it out there. You guys vote on what you think is right. I'll support on whatever you want to decide. But I'm a little upset, frankly, with the way this has been brought about.
Chief, what do you think of the program? Do you really want this? Do you think it's doing something that's benefiting 10 kids a year over the last 5 years?
I think we owe the community some remedy in these last court system.
So you're in favor of that?
I had a discussion with a pretty wise friend of the Green Committee. And we talked about in the 60s when you called your parents and they came home and came to live with them. They could do whatever you did. But you learned the right from wrong. Today's society, you don't do that. When Joe Krakowski was chief here, or Ben Miron was chief here, I've heard the stories that they grab a child by the ear and take them home to their parents, and they would never see that kid.
I can attest to that. It happened to the mayor.
We took care of it. Society needs help now, and we don't have anything to offer other than this program. This is the only program that we offer. I don't like it either. I've seen team courts in other counties that run on a shoestring and get the same job done. But I don't want to say unfortunately, but this is how Lake County did. CASA saw a need and took it and ran with it. Nobody else raised their hand and said, no, let me do it for free. They are certainly needed. So, yeah, I think it is worthwhile. I wish there were alternatives, so we could, just like we do with everything else, fresh now. We don't have that.
So, Chief, are you telling us that NICASA said that Round Lake, the village of Round Lake, would not be included in teen court if we just continued on with the donation that we've given in the past?
Would we have a right to use them? I've never asked the question in the past.
Would they turn their back on us?
There have been years that we haven't paid them, and they didn't. It wasn't this much.
And I'm not recommending that we don't pay them.
I'd have to say they probably didn't turn us away.
Question, I guess, is brought by an ex-chief of police. He's in charge. Is there a way to talk to him and see this, when he's going with the budget? I think he's got to understand that, just to see what's happening here. Get his views on it.
I can answer part of
that. That's okay.
The last report I saw from 13, the missing 14 and 15 on the website, and at the state attorney's office, but 74% of the expenses go to salaries and expenses. So if you're going to give them $5,000, $3,700 is going to salaries and benefits. So I want you to think about that. I don't mind them giving them money. My problem with the resolution attached, I feel like they're saying we have to give that every year. And if we're going to face a financial crisis in the future, so we have the flexibility to say we can't do that. But we want to get something. It's just something to think about. Because I looked at their
what can I really give you, Chief, for that kind of money? Yeah. Something back for the network.
The program.
We can run a program like that. I don't
know.
No.
No.
Okay. No.
Okay. No. Okay.
It's a real court. There's a judge that sits and oversees the state attorney that oversees it.
You have that part here as well.
Right. Yes. And that's also money that we put out.
That's inventory too. I mean, if we're using our state for the court, would we not be able to work with them on the price?
We can try to do everything. I doubt that anyone else charges that. They will argue, I would imagine, that it's our people that are using it.
I'm not saying to charge them, you know, for the use of the space, but, you know, wouldn't we be kind of compensated that we are giving the space?
Right.
So would we be able to get a lower price?
And what about other? I'm not.
That it's always been that way in the past as well. So it's not for changing.
Finish your thought. But what happens if we go to Round Lake Beach or go to somewhere else and they decide to charge us for coming?
They used to know as long as we had it here. Of course, they used to know Round Lake Beach. Round Lake Beach is on low end, and so that's why they asked us to have it here. And so we would raise this up to allow a lot of things they maybe even ask the environment to reduce the value.
Would we accept it if they said no and moved to Round Lake Beach and increased the fees because we're going to Round Lake Beach?
Well, again, is this a fee or is this a request for donation?
It's a request for donation. And Luke, do you have the agreement in front of you?
I do.
On a lot of contracts, you can strike things. Can you strike Clause 11? Clause 11 for the board if you want to try to use the program costs. I guess really for tonight, we've always made a decision on an annual basis that we want to pay this, and of course we do. The question tonight is, do we want to pay by $1,000, $750, or $1,500? It's up to the board. I mean, really, what are we comfortable with? If we pass something down $500 to $1,000, do we want to push it up to $5,000? Do we want to go in increments? Do we want to go now, and if they ask for something in the future, think about it again? We have options. I'm not so sure as the administrator, I like this agreement saying it's required. I almost feel like it's required to get 5 months.
If we split the difference and we offered him the $2,500 and they said okay, done deal.
What are we paying now? $500?
We pay at least $500 I believe in the past. Again, whatever the board decides, I believe it's that fact.
And we're also.
Well, they said it is.
We're also providing the facility, as Sue mentioned. We're also providing personnel here. Police departments, police officers show up. Somebody has to be here. That has a monetary value to it in itself. What did we pay last year? Do you know?
500.
I would say double it. I would make a motion to the board to approve paying $500 and let NICASA know that the Village of Round Lake wants to continue doing business with them. We're happy to donate the facility, make sure that there's a police officer or personnel that's needed to open this facility and continue it to run. I think we're doing more than our fair share. It really annoys me when somebody says, I'm going to tell you what you have to donate. $1,000?
Yeah.
Everybody fine with that?
I'm good. That's all right.
$2,500.
That way you give them half of what they asked for.
And then
if it turns around and becomes something else different, then they got to come back to us anyway.
Right. If we split the difference, it's we're showing our good faith.
Right.
No,
serious.
This is our good faith. We can't really afford to
contract.
Let's go.
Other alternative
is
we could pay the
$500
and then
offer
them $1,000.
Well, this first was a question. Do we know what the surrounding communities have paid?
Everybody was billed $500. Well, this time, yeah. I don't know who's paid or who hasn't. But they also take money from deferred prosecution. So everybody ends up paying a little bit by the end of the year. Because if you approve the prosecutor to speak out for prosecution, it's whenever you have, say, a DUI arrest, the prosecutor can enter into an agreement. And I'm not exactly sure how it all works out, but part of the fine money goes to defer prosecution. They say it's not the fine money, it's separate, but they just lower the fine together. So if you meant $1,200 to fine, they may say it makes a $200 donation, $15 and $1,000. That's how it usually works out. So some towns are really generous with that, and they may have a lot. One year we had $3,700 in that one time.
So what's the dollar amount of it?
because he said he'd come out and drive on this year. So, what does he have to do?
Well, it's not the chief. The board has made a recommendation of $2,500. I don't want to put the onus on the chief. And I think most of us are agreeing with that.
Yeah, I think so.
Tell them to reduce their salaries by 70%. There'll be money ahead.
See? How about if we pay $2,500 and then open up for prosecution for the remainder and see what happens?
Yeah, yeah.
If you're satisfied with that, that sounds good to me. That sounds good to me.
You don't need
to see it. As long as you see it. I mean, the demands is a little harsh.
Okay, good. So we'll go $2,500. Write a letter that we're also supplying the boardroom.
Personnel,
et cetera.
We support the program.
And if they say no, come back. That's all I'm going to say. Come right back here. Right back here, and we'll deal with it. Yeah. We'll deal with it.
Did my description of the first prosecution, was that accurate?
That we never, there was never
seen. No, the policy.
Can you just summarize it again?
It's just some money over and above the fine that gets donated by the offender in the name of whatever it is that they decide to defer that money.
Right, and here the offender donates it to teen court, and teen court uses it to fund their program.
And to get another month of supervision rather than jail time, they'll say, give me $1,000 to teen court and your $1,000 fine.
That's right, and that acts as a separate source of funding for teen court above and beyond what the donation we're talking about here.
Yep. 70%.
So that 70% that they're talking about is not necessarily correct, because they couldn't be getting funding from it. I'm taking the confinement that we're already given.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's what probably happened.
They are required to post their exempts, 990, that's the report on the state attorney's office website. The last I see is 2013. And they're end of June, so they're missing 14 active. And on their own website, the last one's 13.
I'd be asking for it. Very good.
I think we should move
to 20. So Luke, you're clear what the resolution should read with that?
Yeah.
Hey. Okay. Very good. We're moving forward. Any new topics? Any old topics?
No, I got a question for you. But I'll hold it to our next meeting. I need to talk to you.
Any other topics? If not, may I get a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Motion made by Trustee Newby, seconded by Trustee Trippon, I believe. All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned at 8:21 p.m. Thank you, everybody.